The United States and South Korea have begun 10 days of naval exercises in the seas off the Korean Peninsula. It's 10 days of war games, including an aircraft carrier from the Navy's 7th Fleet. Now, drills like this aren't new, but this one comes at a time of major tension as North Korea tests ballistic missiles capable of carrying nuclear weapons. North Korea sees the exercises as a rehearsal for invasion. State media there called the drills reckless and said the government would renew its threats against the U.S. territory of Guam. Dr. Balbina Wong is a visiting professor at Georgetown University and a former senior advisor at the State Department for Asian Affairs. Dr. Wong, what's the message the U.S. is sending here?
Well, there's two things. The first is the actual message itself and the signaling versus the very careful way in which we need to read the actual vocabulary that is being used. So, for example, while North Korea calls these war games, for the United States and South Korea, which have a security alliance and quite a robust one, these are essentially regular drills that are practiced in order for defense of South Korea and for the deterrence of future North Korean actions.
So the United States and North Korea say that this is purely for defense of the South, but what's the message that Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans are likely to hear?
Well, I think this is exactly the point. We have to remember the Korean War never technically ended. And so any country that is still in a state of war with a neighbor will have very strong defenses and needs to practice those defenses. Now, given the rise in rhetoric between the two leaders of North Korea and the United States, these are meant as signals to North Korea precisely because North Korea has conducted numerous acts of essentially aggression in the last several years. And so the heightening of the signaling is meant to send a signal to Kim Jong-un that if he continues to more tests, then the United States is prepared to come to the defense of its allies.
Is there something qualitatively different about these exercises that make them stand out from the ones that have been going on, as you say, for 50 or 60 years? Is the U.S. ratcheting up the message?
Yes and no. Strategically, I do not think there is a difference. And in fact, I would argue that the tension today is not the highest we've ever seen on the Korean Peninsula since the 1953 armistice. Despite what the public may feel and the way the media has covered these incidents, there have actually been numerous other times throughout the decades at which we have been much closer, I would argue, to an all-out war. The point here, though, is that Kim Jong-un is speeding up his aggressive pursuit of nuclear weapons and their delivery systems, which are the missiles. And this is a clear violation of all international laws and all international norms. So if Kim Jong-un continues on this path, it is up to the United States as the global leader, and of course, as the main supporter of South Korea, to try to deter North Korea from these further acts of aggression.
Dr. Wong, you're not the first expert or analyst on this show to say that despite the news and despite the rhetoric, not much has really changed in the big picture between the North, the South, and the United States here. So if that's the case, what's your view of a way out here from this dynamic?
Well, it depends on what you actually mean by the way out. I think most of the world right now is focused on the nuclear weapons issue and, of course, the missile issue. However, those are, to me, actually the symptoms of the fundamentally larger problem, which is that we have a divided Korean Peninsula since the end of World War II. So fundamentally, we have to address this problem of a divided Korea and a Korea that is at war with itself. So if we want to try to address just the nuclear issues, we can probably eventually manage to do that through a series of talks. But that will eventually not solve the problem. So we have to get at a permanent peace treaty between the two Koreas.
Dr. Balbina Wong at Georgetown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by Westbridge Dual Diagnosis Treatment Centers, offering a family-centered, integrated approach to treatment for men with co-occurring mental illness and substance use disorders. More at westbridge.org.